This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
I truly believe that stuff really does not bring happiness. That's what Richard Branson says, and we're asking you to weigh in here on Enterprise Biz Bytes with Audrey, Frida, and Arvin. We've got a poll running, so we want you to weigh in there, and we're also asking you, to what extent do you think material things bring you happiness? We have some feedback over on WhatsApp.
Yeah, so this is from Ro, who says, in order to come to the realization money doesn't buy happiness, you need to love a life with nothing. No possessions, no money, nothing but love to give. And when you do, you find yourself in a pair of old sneakers, torn shorts, and a free tea, playing in a park with your adopted stray dog, nothing but happy. That's from Ro. We have another one here from Chia, who says, material wealth is like eating. Satisfaction stops at a certain point.
Ooh.
Interesting. Another one here from Maggie, who says, material possessions are important when we are alive. They are useful when they bring convenience and comfort, but if we get obsessed, that's the beginning of big trouble. Greed sets in to take away that happiness. Some have advised that giving to charity helps to keep one in check.
Mm-hmm.
That is true. A lot of people tell you that, you know, when you finally have the ability to give back to the community or even to charity, that's when you start to see the true value of life and giving and happiness and contentment.
One day we'll get there.
Because some people would argue you need some to give some. And if you don't have some.
Yeah, we work in radio, Frida. One day might be a long time away.
We've got some. Are you going to do first?
Tweets, yeah. So we got some. We got from Kelvin Chan over on Twitter, who says that all my nieces and nephews live overseas. I cry for missing the family gatherings with them. My parents won't be happy without a steady roof above their head. I need to pay mortgage, and my friends like drinking, me too. So I think just money to socialize. You need money to do all of these things. Inbaraj says, what is he referring to though? Stuff can be anything. I think, you know, like he mentioned in his blog post, it was about his house that got burned down and another house that got burned down.
Sank.
And the boat that sank and the, you know, all the
that
houses.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Mm. And then we have one from General Hummer, who says, sorry, Richard, try again next season.
Okay. We've got from Bosco here. This is the kind of thing only rich people can afford to say. Let's make a deal. Except all his happiness, the money in excess. If after enjoying my fill, I feel the same as him, then I'll pay it forward to someone else. Good idea. We've got Wendy Wee writes, I like this. Of course it does. Happiness is only a fleeting emotion. Try not to confuse it with contentment.
Mm. That's what you spoke about before, right? Is it what's happiness and what's contentment? Is it that boost of, you know, like euphoria that you get? Or it's like, you know, you're just satisfied with life.
I'm also looking, there's more that's come in via WhatsApp. This is from Sylvester Lee, who says, when you have enough material to keep you comfortable and you don't need to constantly worry about surviving, I should think that's enough.
Yeah. So just ability to pay your bills and stuff.
Yeah. There's another one here by Andy who says, money or stuff doesn't bring you happiness. Meaning brings happiness, but money does facilitate the pursuit of meaning by providing more time and options with the abundance of resources. Like what you said, Arv.
So, you know, keep sending us your messages and let us know what you think. 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp or find us on at BFM Radio on Twitter and on Instagram. In the meantime, we're going to talk about how Uber, the giant company Uber, they managed to lose $5 billion last week.
Like they just put it somewhere and forgot about it.
Under the pillow.
Yeah. So as we know, Uber is the largest ride hailing app in the world. They're valued at upwards of $80 billion. It's ridiculous. But the company has never turned a profit. And now the company has posted its biggest ever quarterly loss, a staggering $5.24 billion in just the 3 months to the end of June. This news, coupled with the company's slowest ever revenue growth in the same quarter, has caused its shares to slide 10%. Mm. Now, to say that the earnings were disappointing would be an understatement. Uber has turned into a magical money-burning machine. This is what analysts are calling them. You know, they're a magical money-burning machine. So what's happened? What's caused Uber to lose like $5 billion in such a short space of time? Well, about $3.9 billion of that was stock-based compensation that Uber recently paid its employees. So a loss was expected, but not one this large. Across the world, Uber is facing massive competition from a saturated market in both its ride-sharing and its food delivery services. Lyft in the US is their biggest competitor. They also reported slightly better, but still poor results. They reported a $644 million loss during the same quarter, but not as bad as like Uber, right? Mm-hmm. If you look at the UK, Bolt in the UK, Ola cabs in India, Yandex taxi in Russia, they are all part of that whole challenging ride-sharing landscape, but they are not making as big of a loss as Uber is. And on the food delivery side of its business, they have a competition in Deliveroo and Just Eat in the UK. And in US, you've got Grubhub, Postmates, and DoorDash. So it's a pretty saturated market everywhere you look. Even here in Malaysia, they had to kind of, you know, like make kawan with Grab, right? And now we only have Grab. But what analysts are saying is the issue of why Uber is just bleeding is because of the ride sharing market itself, which is just flooded with competition. So they say, like, the taxi services they are looking to disrupt or replace, you know, that's how Uber had their USP, right? They came in and they were completely unregulated. And the only way that the taxi companies were profitable was because of regulation. And then Uber came in and all of a sudden anyone with a car, with a license could be part of that ecosystem, that ride-sharing ecosystem, right? And once they came in and they did this unregulated, all of a sudden, all the other small competitors that cropped up, like your Lyft, like your Grab, and even here in Malaysia, like your MyCar and the other ride-sharing apps, they've now all come in with zero barriers to entry. And that is something that Uber created for them, right? And all of a sudden, now, if you think about it, right, with things like if you go online to buy something on Amazon or on Alibaba, there is what they call a switching cost. So if you want to buy something on Alibaba and then you thought, okay, never mind, I think I'll just buy it from another e-commerce store, you're going to go like, but you know what, if I buy on Alibaba, I can pay on demand. I mean, I can cash on demand when it's delivered, right? Or if I buy it on Amazon, I can also buy my groceries at one go and I can get it delivered tomorrow. But if I buy it from that online retailer, I might have to wait like 3 days for delivery. So there's always a little bit of a reason why people want to stick to Amazon or want to stick to Alibaba. And that's something that Uber doesn't have. Because if you look at, I'm just looking at my phone right now, I've got 3 ride-sharing apps.
Yep.
And there's no cost for me to switch between. If I look at the rates on Grab and it's expensive, I'll just look at my car and see if I can get it cheaper there. But that is something that Uber doesn't have. It doesn't have like a switching cost, like a reason for people to stick to Uber and not use Lyft or Deliveroo or Grab or my car, right? So they don't have a reason to stay loyal.
Okay. Well, don't they have points? Don't they provide? I don't know, because I wasn't like I know, like, we Grab their points, right? So at this I can convert into cheaper rates.
Yeah.
Right? You know, you can fit 5 ringgit, 10 ringgit, 15 ringgit, and I've done so much on Grab so that I'm able to do that. So that's the reason why, oh, okay, now I've also downloaded other apps. I say, oh, but the other one doesn't give me points.
The point system's not as good, no?
Yeah, but that's the thing. So what analysts are saying is they need more of a more rewarding loyalty point, right? Because right now there is no reason for someone to just switch to another ride sharing app. And what they're saying is that Uber is going to need to find a niche or like another loyalty point, like I just mentioned. So they're going to need to venture into new markets, maybe work on something like e-commerce. So that is something that Uber in the States is looking at. They are partnering with this company called Cargo. It's a startup that allows drivers to sell goods like gum, phone chargers, and snacks in their car. And that is they're slowly trying to move into e-commerce to do that. And this is what they're saying, like, Uber needs to find like a niche and needs to find like a switching cost, something that will will make people think, you know what, I need to travel with Uber and not with Lyft and not with my car and not with Grab. They need to find that sticky point.
Yeah. Sometimes I wonder if these sort of like analysis and stuff is people from the outside looking in, trying to analyze Uber as a company. Because what is the valuation you said just
80 billion, US dollars.
So if you're valued at 80 billion and then you lose 5 billion in one quarter, does it actually matter to Uber? Because they seem like, you know, they are the giants in that sector. All the Lyfts and the other guys that you mentioned aren't even close to being like near Uber's footprint, as far as I know, like as far as you look at their value and stuff. I think their closest competitor would be Lyft.
Yeah.
So if they lose 5 billion, does it actually matter to Uber's business at all? Or are they just going, you know, that's a write-off. I'm sure they know that they don't make money. I think a lot of companies work on that basis. Netflix is another one that doesn't make a profit. So, you know, how much
growth focus and not profit focus.
So which is kind of something I know that the Morning Run team talked about, right? It's so funny when they analyze all these markets, it's not about profitability anymore, but how much less money I lost compared to last year. Mm. And that's an improvement.
But what these analysts are saying is, you know, the Uber will continue to take hits like this month after month, quarter after quarter. And here's the thing, more competitors are coming into the space. And these competitors, these new startups, they're coming in with a little bit of a niche. So maybe some of them are moving into autonomous vehicles. Some of them are doing things with food delivery as well. So there's just going to be more competitors flooding the market. And without a switching cost for Uber, they're just going to continue to bleed.
It'll be interesting to see how they sort of adapt.
That said, you know, like Amazon took 15 years to be profitable.
So let's see. But going back to the initial story about what Richard Branson said, he said that, "I truly believe that stuff really does not bring happiness." There's a poll over on Twitter. You can go and weigh in there, or you can send us your feedback. To what extent do you think material things bring you happiness? Also, you can message us on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. We will be back after a photograph by Weezer. This is Enterprise BizBytes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.